All right, so let's talk budget now. But before we do, do you remember this?
And as urban poet Kendrick Lamar says, we're going to be right. We're going to be all right.
So that's former finance minister Malusi Gigaba during his first and last budget speech last year, channeling Kendrick Lamar. It's 12 months later. Mike Schussler, chief economist at economist.co.za. Thank you so much for your time. Are we all right?
All right, we're definitely not all right, and we're sort of really finding out how deep our problems really are, and it's quite scary. And certainly, finance minister is a job I don't want to have in my lifetime at this moment.
Yeah, so. How tough is this balancing act going to be for Tito Mboweni? I mean, we've got a sluggish economy, our SOEs are on the verge of collapse, unemployment is still at its highest, the public sector wage bill is unsustainable. Oh, and let's not forget the budget deficit. So how does he balance this act?
Oh, a very good question, Clement. I think the first thing is, if the economy was slow and he just had to balance the budget, as in finance and funding and revenue, or expenditure and revenue, and then funding, it wouldn't be so bad, but he's now got Eskom to deal with. So let's put it this way. Our taxes or our revenue part is going to have to increase quicker than inflation, whereas our expenditure that the people will see on education, grants, roads, whatever it may be, will increase at a slower rate than inflation. So we will feel the pinch, so to speak. And that way, it would have closed the budget deficit. And we would have said, it's a difficult budget, but okay, we have to do it. Mm. And now, apart from all that, that's already difficult, he's been given the Eskom problem. And we really don't know what he's going to do. Mm. It looks like people are making all sorts of assumptions, Clement. But I think if you look at that Eskom hole of over 500 billion rand, that really is the tough part of the budget, and that might be the part that brings us down.
Yeah, and that's possibly one of the most important things that we expect him to detail. You know, the fact that, you know, how government will be bailing out some of our SOEs like Eskom. Now, the president said last week that the minister would announce further steps to rescue this utility. Is it a given, though, Mike, that as taxpayers will foot the bill for whatever plans that are announced to steer these SOEs out of a crisis? Because even with SAA, they confirmed even this week that they made it very clear they need money from government.
Well, look, I'm quite sure that SAA and Eskom will get some form of money from government. The question is how much and how does that balance work? Because they will get money from the taxman. Or us, the taxpayer, they will get, at the end of the day, they will also have to go ask us, the consumers of electricity, more money. That's also clear. And then is there any funding that can be given to them? Mm. So those are the three things. And then obviously the historic debt that they have and the crisis that we sit with, 34 billion outstanding from the smaller municipalities in Soweto, that is also a part of the equation. So I don't think there's one simple answer, and as President Ramaphosa did say, it'll be a whole host of things that we need to do to address the situation. On the financing side, I think Mr. Mboweni will also have to do a host of things. He might have the carbon tax, which we know is going to be introduced this year, pay out to Eskom. Those are the sort of things he might be thinking about. But if he does too much and takes too much of Eskom's books or debt off their books and puts it on the state books, we'll get a downgrade.
Yeah.
If taxes have to rise too much, we'll get a downgrade.
And so speaking,
it's a very impossible task, in fact.
Yeah, and speaking of those downgrades, I mean, ratings agencies will be watching this budget speech closely. They want to see if government will be burdened any further. What message, then, should the minister send to these ratings agencies today?
I think the message that the minister wants to send is that we as government are not going to allow this to happen again. We will take one or two things off Eskom, but not too much. we will leave it in the hands of the consumers, and that the split of Eskom is probably going to have to lead to privatization, so we get another way of funding, and that is through equity. Mm. I don't think there's any other choice. However, I think at this juncture for the budget, I'm not sure if you'll be able to announce it. It is an election year, but I really think all cards might be on the table, specifically if we want to avoid a downgrade very quickly.
Mm. Just last question, Mike. The growth forecast was slashed by 1.5% to 0.7%, I think, last year. Do you expect him to revise that?
I don't think for last year it will be revised. I think this year's growth, Treasury is still a bit higher than the Reserve Bank.
Yeah.
And I think the World Bank is even lower at 1.4. I suspect we will get a lowering of that, because with the higher electricity prices, the load shedding that we've seen, it's unlikely that we're going to get much over 1.5%. In fact, it's more likely that we'll be closer to 1% growth if we're lucky.
All right. Look, thank you so much for your time. Mike Schussler is chief economist at economist.co.za. And really, the question is, are we still at a crossroad, like Tito Mboweni said during his medium-term budget policy statement? It's 16 minutes after 12. All right, so let's discuss the politics of the budget now. Let's say good afternoon to Lebogang Peko, who's a senior research fellow and political economist at Trade Collective. Good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for your time. So this is being branded the most difficult budget since the dawn of democracy, or at least in a long time, because not only is the economy not growing, jobs not sufficiently being created, SOEs in a mess, but it's also an election year, and that changes things slightly, doesn't it?
It always will, hey Clement. And I think that if we look at the trajectory of the budget speeches that have been delivered during an election year, the stakes are higher. There is the attempt to, you bear in mind that you're not speaking only to a taxpayer base, you're speaking to a potential electorate. And we've had a few things in the last 12 months particularly, which have made it very difficult, I think, for any finance minister to balance all of these considerations effectively. So we've had several finance ministers, for one thing.
Yeah.
We have had a fiscus that has not been very kind to us. We've had a VAT increase, which was extremely unpopular and didn't particularly bring in the revenue that was hoped for. We've also had the current situation of expenditure, which has been eaten, chowed. I don't know if they're really courteous ways to put this, but the revelations that we're seeing at the Zondo Commission, which would illustrate that a lot of the fiscus, the money that's come out of the fiscus, will never be redeemed. It's never coming back, and the chances of it being repatriated are extremely slender. So I think that against this backdrop, the finance minister not only has to play this balancing act with, as your previous speaker was saying, trying to make the ratings agencies happy. And I have a very strong opinion about that, because I don't think that they should be our litmus test.
Yeah.
And I don't have a brief match for external agents who are unelected being have such huge voice. But nonetheless, it is what it is. But also internally, where they are also having to deal with the fact that we have an education system which is in a state of some implosion at the moment. We do have to find money for fees across campuses, across this country, the NASPA situation, public sector wage bill, and so on.
Yeah.
And that's not just about the high end. I'm more concerned about the fact that we've got teachers that need to be paid adequately, nurses, police officers, government doctors, and so on. And they are the heart and soul, the backbone of a lot of the public sector work that needs to be done in this country.
And that speaks to service delivery. So many may agree then that bold steps are needed to rescue these SOEs. I mean, Eskom is technically insolvent. The SABC doesn't have money. SAA has made it very clear that it needs more money from government. So how does the minister then cut spending while increasing revenue without overburdening and upsetting voters? Or is it simply an impossible task?
But I don't think that it's very simple. I think it's close to impossible. I don't like to be completely fatalistic. Remember that, Clement and the listeners, 467 billion rands already late last year was already extended to state-owned enterprises. And the problem, my concern with this is that a lot of these state-owned enterprises, particularly in the case of Eskom, have been part of the state, the state looting and the state, the kind of the really nefarious, unfortunate, unpalatable revelations that have been emerging from the various commissions over the past few months. And this is money that's not coming back. So really, we need to remodel the ways in which these SOEs individually are being run. And I also think that we need a completely new costing model, a new operational model, and a new way of gathering and the resources that are necessary.
Yeah, except the problem is that, Lebohang, that, this is a contested space, isn't it? I mean, when you talk restructuring, and already you mentioned unbundling, unions are up in arms and they're saying, well, there's going to be job losses. This is some kind of privatization. We've already said, Noom, for the first time last week, branding Ramaphosa as an enemy of workers and threatening to sort of withdraw their support for the ANC. So how much of this current political climate then must influence or will influence what we hear at 2 p.m.
Yeah, so I mean that you've said a mouthful. The one thing is that I don't think that workers in the first place should have given their allegiance so unconditionally to the ANC in the first place. So perhaps then this is also part of an inevitable maturing and evolving of political relations in particularly the tripartite alliance in this country. Secondly, I would like to add that I'm not so much advocating for unbundling, although, in the absence of many other options, it's difficult to see how to get around this. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether or not, for example, we need to think about rethinking and recalibrating. And yes, if it means cutting the Eskom particularly into smaller pieces, what then must be done? I think that the South African Airways model is actually one that's more sustainable, because that's been really a toxic mix over the last 10 to 15 years of irrational choices, horrible governance. I think, for example, where some really unprofitable routes have been given a lot of capital, Ceru to Johannesburg. I mean, so there are different ways to rescue it. But I don't think that the worst thing in the world, and I've been saying this over the last few weeks, and I'll say it again, I don't think the worst thing in the world that could happen would be for South Africa not to have a state airline, especially if it's one that is not the state sustainable. We could learn a lot from, I think, airlines that are also state-run or state-aligned, which is Air Malaysia, Air Ethiopia, where they have absolutely turned things around. And that's, of course, the oldest African airline on the continent, where they have managed to really appreciate that you need to go for the high-end and the high-yield route. So there are different ways. Hence, I say that there are different ways to recalibrate our SOEs. It doesn't necessarily mean that we need to rebundle. Perhaps we can think about different share offerings. Mm. We can think about part privatization, different shareholder models to ensure that an entity such as Eskom continues to function.
All right. And just lastly, Lebohang, President Cyril Ramaphosa's State of the Nation address was, I suppose, arguably more business friendly. Should the minister speak to business? And I know you say the ratings agencies must not be our litmus test. Or should he simply just speak to South Africans, the voters today? Or can he balance that?
I think people live here more than businesses, and people run, businesses exist to serve people. So I would really suggest that he takes the nation into his confidence and avoid being high-handed, which he has a propensity to be at times, and to seem a bit aloof and almost disdainful. And I think that today would be a good time to really speak to allay the fears that the ordinary people are, the often cited Makumalo, but I mean, I think certainly, I think Makumalo, Mr. Dlamini, and Jabu on the street corner, we need to feel as though our finance minister has our interest vested in his own interest.
All right. Look, Lebohang Peko, thank you so much for your time. She's a senior research fellow and political economist at Trade Collective. In fact, I've just received an SMS from someone who says, all our woes can be summed up in one sentence: the lying, thieving ANC. Do you agree? Give me a call.
02 702 on 92.7 and 106 FM. Streaming on 702.co.za, the 702 app, and on DSTV channel 856.
At 27 after 12, let's get some reaction now. In fact, expectations from Labour. First Deputy President of COSATU, Mike Shingange, joins us on the line. Good afternoon to you, Mike. First of all, you met with President Cyril Ramaphosa on Monday discussing his government's plans to unbundle Eskom. You've been concerned about possible job losses that could come as a result of this decision. What assurances has he made to you?
Well, we can confirm that we have met the president and his cabinet task team that he has set us to sort out Eskom. As we said in our statement, we have so far got locked in terms of the issues that concern workers, in terms of guaranteeing the job safety, but we have agreed to continue to engage both at the political level but also at the workplace level. So the engagements are still going to continue. But we have made it clear that we're going to continue publicly to be opposed to anything that's going to threaten the job security of our members.
Okay, so what are your expectations of the budget speech today? What would you, what would really make it a worker-friendly budget?
Well, the worker-friendly budget will be a budget that will not threaten any jobs. In fact, the president threw his phone and the manifesto didn't raise the issues of privatization of state-owned enterprises. So it will be surprising for us if the minister was to go that direction. So that's the first thing that we expect. Secondly, you will know that at the end of last year, the president convened both the job summit and the investment summit. And obviously, Treasury will have to present to the nation exactly what is the plan that is going to go into implementing those commitments. Thirdly, you will know that the Auditor General have said to us that every year we're losing about 10% of the national, provincial and local budget through the lootings. Without raising tax to the already struggling masses of our people, without raising tax, if you would stop that bleeding of the 10% of annual budget in all those spheres of government every year, you can save enough money, which is above 100 billion. In order to deliver service to our people. We're losing those billions, including billions going out of the country because there are no strict tax measures to those who are investing abroad. So that's the first thing, the second thing that we thought the minister will do. But you know that the public health institutions of our country are collapsing. There's no direction in terms of the implementation of the national health insurance. So money is going to be put into place to make sure that we correct and improve the public health of our
Right. Mike Shingange, thank you so much for your time. First Deputy President of COSATU.